Good morning, everyone. My name is Arlie Suarez, and I am the Director for Programming and Communications for the Student Government Association. Today, I'm sharing another bio for Women's History Month. And this week, I spoke with one of our wonderful professors, Dr. Terry Moore, who is Assistant Professor of New Testament and Greek. And she recommended a list of amazing women in ministry who have just done so much for the kingdom. And today I'm highlighting one of them. Her name is Karen Jones. Karen Jobes is a prominent scholar and theologian. She's particularly known for her work in biblical studies. She currently serves as the first female president of the Evangelical Theological Society. She completed a BA in physics from Trenton State College in 1974 and an MS in computer science from Rutgers University in 1979. She became a Christian while at college, and she returned to study and completed a Master of Arts in Religion and a PhD in Biblical Hermeneutics from Westminster Theological Seminary. So something I particularly highlighted this part of her education because it reminded me of many professors here at our school and all around Bible colleges that have pursued something, whether it's engineering or maybe it's English, have pursued a different degree, but then went back to school and got a degree in Bible and theology. And it just reminded me of how we may set our own paths, but the Lord has a path directly for us. And just to finish off this bio, she has been involved in teaching and mentoring students, and it's all her contributions to the field have made her a respected voice in biblical scholarship, and especially in evangelical Christian circles. She has authored and contributed to several influential works, including the First Peter Commentary and the Baker Exegetical Commentary on the New Testament Studies. And she is also noted for her work on the Septuagint, the Greek translation of the Hebrew Bible, and in many ways that it has influenced the Christian thought. We give thanks to God for her life and ministry and for the way that she has just been so open to what the Lord has for her. Thank you.
Good morning. Everybody doing okay? Okay, fantastic. Well, I have the privilege to introduce our speaker this morning, and Pastor Israel Mendez serves as the pastor and church planter at Alamo Community Church in downtown San Antonio, where he leads with a heart for discipleship and community transformation. His ministry journey began with roles as an associate pastor and director of the Baptist Student Ministry at University of Texas, San Antonio, where he mentored and developed young leaders. Currently, Pastor Israel also serves as with the Pastor's Common, a network focused on encouraging millennial and Gen Z ministers, and he teaches theology at the Bindon Center for Biblical Leadership, equipping students without formal ministry backgrounds to serve effectively in the local church. A graduate of Texas A&M University, Kingsville, and Midwestern Baptist Theological Seminary, Israel combines his academic training with his deep connection to San Antonio, a city for its rich culture, including the Spurs. And Tejano music. That's okay. That's it. He is married to his wonderful wife, Sarah, and is a proud new father to Murphy Mesa Mendez, embracing both family and ministry with passion. Pastor Israel, thank you so much for being here. Come on.
Good morning, everybody. Morning. How's everybody doing? I know it's Women's History Month, and I am married to one, and that's about the credentials that I have on that in that regard. But it's an honor to be with you this morning. I realize that I am the only thing standing between you and lunch, and I tell my church this all the time, so I will preach accordingly. But if we have not had the opportunity to meet, I know some of you, Luis gave that wonderful bio, Go Spurs Go. I am from the city of San Antonio, home of the five-time NBA championship, San Antonio Spurs, the Hound Music capital of the world. Also, I might say that if you are a Mavs fan in the room, I am so sorry. I have been praying for you. There's room at the table for if you need a new team. We got you. But it is an honor to be with you. I've known Luis for over a decade at this point. I've known Jackie for a little while as well. And so it's just an honor to be with all of you this morning. And so this morning I want to be brief, but I also want to give a kind of charge to you in this room. I've worked for the latter half of, or the better part of a decade now with a young adult and college students and young professionals, our church. I was talking to Luis a little while ago. Our church, we planted in January of 22, and now we're in January 25. We started the core team of about 25 people, and now it's blown up to over 300. And primarily our demographic is young adult, Gen Z, millennial, and Gen Alpha. And so my parents are the oldest people in our church, and they're in their 50s and 60s. So that just kind of gives you an idea. So the music's a little bit different. You know, I have to tell them, like, people move a little bit. Maybe that's just because we're Mexican. And, you know, it's like, some of y'all know, y'all start moving. Others, Luis needs to invite me back during Hispanic Heritage Month, and then we'll get going. But I want to talk to you this morning because I know where you're at. I know where you are in life. And I know that there's this tension of wanting more and preparing for the future and all these kinds of things that we might miss out on the simple task of abiding in Jesus. Now, it would be no news to you if I were to tell you that we are a distracted people. Think about this with me for a moment. We are people who are bombarded with distractions that are most of the times at odds to our apprenticeship to Jesus. According to a recent study that I was reading, on average, most people spend about 2 hours on social media a day and about 4 hours a day on other things with their phones, such as YouTube or podcasts. And others, are you looking around, they're like, those are rookie numbers. I did that last night, okay? When you should have been studying or doing your quiet time, I will just throw that out there. No shame, there's grace in Jesus, okay? But the reality is that we're spending so much time glued to our phones and messaging. We're being bombarded with messages. And every day there seems to be loud noise from media or political divisions, right? Progressives arguing one thing, and then right-wing people arguing one other, and then your crazy tia talking about end times on Facebook, or maybe that's just me. And all of a sudden, we're being bombarded with these messaging, and then to pick that up, we're on our phones that are triggered by these algorithms that are speaking into our lives, somewhere about 6,000 to 10,000 ads daily. And we wonder why in our hearts we cannot find peace. We wonder why we might be anxious. Or when we even get to the place where we want to have something like a quiet time, or we want to pray or read, we just can't because we don't even know how. Think about this. I was on the drive here, right? Driving down, stuck in traffic, because that's apparently a thing in Dallas. It's not like this crazy in San Antonio, we'll say that. And I'm driving, right? But what am I doing when I'm driving? I'm listening to music. I'm listening to a podcast, right? When we work sometimes, when we're working from home or you're studying, what do you have? You have the TV on in the background. Maybe you're reading a book and your favorite playlist of choice is readily available. Maybe you're even watching a movie. I found myself doing this this week with my wife. We're watching a movie. And what's the first thing we do? We both pull out our phones and we start scrolling. Like, we have a movie on, and yet that is not entertaining enough. I need to see what's happening, right, in the life of my church, and people are posting nonsense on social media. And all this time, right, we're distracted. And in that, we have lost the ability to be present with God and even have lost the ability to be present with ourselves. We surround ourselves with noise, all while the inner part of who we are is designed for and crying out for silence and a time to get away with the only one who can calm the storms of our minds and silence the noise of our lives. And so this morning, I want us to understand that the key to devotion to Jesus starts simply with being with Jesus. And today, we'll examine what it means to be with Jesus by looking at a very familiar text from the Gospel of Luke. Now, I said this to a friend of mine just before we started, like, this is actually more for me than it might be for some of you, but I think it'll be applicable to our lives. You see, Luis mentioned that I have a wonderful wife named Sarah. We've been married for almost 3 years now, and we have a 8-month-old baby at home, which means silence and solitude are very few and far between at this moment, where I'm having to remind myself daily as I'm holding my wonderful child in the middle of the night at 3 a.m. when I have slept maybe 2 hours, this is the day that the Lord has made. I will rejoice and be glad in it because that is the response that I am needing. So this text is a familiar one that I hope will speak to our lives today. If you have a Bible and you want to pull it up on your phone or pretend like you are and you're just here because you have to be, that's okay. I understand. I've been in your shoes. But we're going to be in the Gospel of Luke, and we're in chapter 10, verse 38 through 42. Again, a very familiar passage of Scripture. It reads like this. Now, as they went on their way, Jesus entered a village, and a woman named Martha welcomed him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary who sat at the Lord's feet and listened to his teaching. Verse 40, but Martha was distracted with much serving. And she went up to him and said, Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Tell her then to help me. Verse 41, but the Lord answered her, Martha, Martha, you are anxious and troubled about many things, but one thing is necessary. Mary has chosen the good portion which will not be taken away from her. This passage contains a couple of things that are pertinent to our time together. And I mentioned earlier that the first thing to devotion to Jesus is simply being with Jesus. And in this text, we get one of the most significant examples of just being in God's presence in all the New Testament. We see two people doing great things, but one has chosen a greater portion. Again, as I mentioned a while ago, we're all vulnerable to distractions. Even good ones, right? Martha was distracted with serving Jesus. And we read that and we think, like, shouldn't we celebrate the desire to serve, right? Shouldn't we elevate the work that she is doing? Like she is here to serve King Jesus. This doesn't make any sense. The problem is that as a culture and even a church culture, we all often celebrate productivity over piety or proper devotion. Think about this. We live in a culture right now that celebrates the hustle and celebrates the grind. I don't know about you, but like I'm flipping through Instagram. It's like, here's 10 ways to make $10,000 today. And you're like, that sounds amazing, but I think I'm about to get ripped off. Right? Like we're all about the hustle and all about the grind and we use these phrases like hashtag no days off. I'm like, give me all the days off. Like I will take every vacation day that you offer me. Like that, I'm not negotiating salary, I'm negotiating days off at this point. I'm like, I just want to be home and like eat a taco and make my own coffee. Some of you are like, yes and amen. We hear phrases like I'll sleep when I'm dead. And you experience this kind of life even as a college student, right? You're involved in SGA and this ministry and this organization. So we're padding our stats for the future job that we want. And we're doing everything we can to promote that kind of future. And it's even infiltrated its way into the church. In church, we celebrate the volunteers who respond confirm to every planning center request. And there's like the volunteer of the month, right? We celebrate that they're serving in every capacity, yet do we even stop to wonder how their souls are before God? Have you stopped to wonder that in all of your striving and working and even serving, how is your soul before the Lord? Again, the Bible describes Martha as distracted by much serving. Right? Jesus shows up to the house and Martha goes to work, right? That is the natural thing to do, right? Jesus walks into your home and it's like, work, 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 work. That's a, it's a song that's apparently a classic now. I realize I said that to somebody the other day and they're like, man, that's an old school song, right? And I'm like, hold on. Old school is like Def Leppard, all right? This is, let's check yourself before you wreck yourself, right? Like if Jesus walked in, like I'd be cleaning, I'd be making barbacoa and Big Red. That's a San Antonio thing. If you're ever in the area, let's try it. Let's talk about it. Like we would be doing everything, offering him a soda, whatever it means, right? But Martha was anxious and troubled to do things for Jesus while Mary was perfectly at peace, simply sitting at the feet of Jesus. Can I tell you something this morning in your love? Think of me as your older primo or cousin or whatever. That I just want to tell you this in love, that doing things for Jesus does not equal devotion to Jesus. Right, that just because we're doing things and to seem busy doesn't mean that we're actually devoted to him. Right, like we can serve out of improper motives. Some of you are like, there's a cute girl or a cute guy there. Like, I'm gonna lift all these chairs. Like watch me do this. But that doesn't equate devotion to Jesus. Look, I see this all the time in the church plant. Like, there's these CrossFit dudes that are stacking 20 chairs. I'm like, I know she's single, but chill, dude. But that doesn't mean that our hearts are devoted to him. Jesus isn't impressed with your service. What he wants is your affection. And please understand me again. We want you to serve. We want you to go on mission. We want you to lead. These are good things. These are right things. These are godly things. The problem is that often we are attempting to do the work of Jesus apart from Jesus. Verse 41 and 42, the Lord answers, Martha, Martha, you are anxious and troubled about many things, but one thing is necessary. Mary has chosen the good portion which will not be taken away from her. First step to devotion to Jesus is simply being with Jesus. Can I encourage you this morning? Choose the good portion. Choose the good portion. So how do we move to a simpler life of being with God? Thankfully, the scriptures give us insight into ancient practices that help us to slow down and be at the feet of Jesus. Well, I can't give you every spiritual discipline that is helpful to our conversation this morning. I want to point us to a couple of things that we can incorporate in our lives to help us slow down and really move and sit at the feet of Jesus. The first one is silence and solitude or abiding in God. This practice is an invitation to abide, to rest, or to get away with God. Listen to how Jesus lovingly states this in the Gospel of John. In John chapter 15, if you want to write this down, John chapter 15, verses 9 and 11 through 11. He says this, as the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things have I spoken to you that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be full. Jesus loves just as the Father has loved him, and he delights in us abiding in or being with him. As a result of abiding in Jesus, we get joy and joy to the fullest. Think about this kind of love or this kind of relationship or intimacy that is involved. That you can be so close with Jesus, just sitting in silence with our King. I think about my parents, who I love more than anything in the world. They're amazing. They're so fun and so funny. They've been married 37 years. And I can just watch them sit in a room and not say a word, but just be comfortable in each other's presence. There's not a word said, but there's something still being communicated, right? I'm here. I love you. I've always been here. They're watching a movie and it's a funny little thing that pops up on the TV. They don't have to say a word. They just give each other a look and they both laugh. You know what I'm kind of talking, you know what I'm talking about. Some of you are like, man, I have that with someone, right? Like, and that doesn't even have to be a relationship like that. It could be a friendship, right? One of my best friends, we planted the church together. His name's Ryan. We've been on vacations together and it's amazing. Partly because when we go on vacation together, we don't have to say a word. We just do what we do and we drink coffee and we have fun. But this is the kind of invitation that Jesus is inviting us into, this kind of abiding love. We have some of that in silence and solitude. In silence and solitude, we create space for not only the external noise to be silenced, but our minds and hearts to be silenced and allow the Spirit to meet us in the moment as we abide in Christ's love. Just sitting in silence before God, just asking Him to move in your day, to meet you in your day-to-day life. The author, Ruth Haley Barton, in the book Invitation to Silence and Solitude says this, that in silence, we not only withdraw from the demands of life in the company of others, but also allow the noise of our own thoughts, strivings, and compulsions to settle down so we can hear a truer, more reliable voice, which is God. In silence, we create space for God's activity rather than filling every minute with our own. If we're left to our own devices, we just kind of sit there. And we try silence, right? And next thing you know, your phone is blowing up. I did this the other day. I was just like, okay, I'm just going to sit before God, and I forgot to turn my phone off. And next thing you know, it's like, bzz, bzz, bzz. You know what I'm talking about? Some of y'all are in that space right now. And so we're bombarded with messaging nonstop when our voices and our minds and our hearts just desire silence. We need to fill our heart and mind with God's activity rather than our own. Lastly, a second key to devotion to Jesus is that we must reclaim the reading of the Scriptures. The Anglican theologian, one of my favorites, is N.T. Wright. He says this in his book, The Last Word, that reading and studying Scripture has been seen as central to how we are to grow in the love of God, how we can come to understand God and His truth more fully, and how we can develop the moral muscle to live in accordance with the gospel of Jesus, even when everything seems to be pulling the other way. All the spiritual disciplines have their foundation in Scripture engagement because it is in the Scripture that we primarily meet God. The Scriptures are of utmost importance for us to embrace as a discipline because the Scriptures help us to grow in our love for God. We see the Lord's faithfulness to His people and His kindness from the Old Testament to now. We see His mercy laid out for His people, and we read and fall all the more in love with Jesus as we open up the book. And yet, that seems to be the last thing that we often do. We tend to gravitate more toward Instagram or TikTok. I don't have TikTok, so I assume that's addicting because that's what everybody talks about. Some of y'all are like, I'm on it right now.
Yes.
You got your headphones in. I see you. I'm just kidding. But we open other things rather than the thing that should be shaping us, the thing that should be discipling us. Here's the thing. You have to fight for it. You have to make it a priority. I say this because if not, you have to understand that John Mark Comer says this all the time, that we are all being discipled by something or someone, and it's up to you of who disciples you and what disciples you. You have to make space for delighting in God's presence. There's no excuse. I remember in 2017, it seems like so long ago, some of you are like, yeah, I was in elementary. Like, stop, okay? and by all accounts, I had just moved to San Antonio. I was 2 years into this ministry that I was moved to San Antonio to restart this ministry. And in 2 years, it had grown 10x. And I'll be honest, I was celebrated in a lot of spaces, right? Invited to speak at this thing, like showed up to this thing. And all these kinds of things were happening. And yet, inwardly, there was something that was going on. I remember I started to feel sick one day. And me being the hard-headed Hispanic that I am was just like, I'm fine. I'm good. And it started to get a lot worse. And then I remember thinking like, okay, there's this giant party. And at this point, we had multiple staff. You know, we went from zero staff to fully staffed and all this kind of stuff. And I was like, I need to be at the Christmas party. And I was so sick. So I was like, maybe I'll skip. Guess what I did? I Ubered because I tried to drive and almost crashed the car. And I was like, you know what? I don't need to drive. I got Uber. So I pulled up my phone and I show up and I am miserable, but I am there. I am present. You know this, if you've been doing any kind of ministry or whatever long enough, you can fake it for a while until you get to home and you're on the floor. And I think at this point that I'm having a heart attack. And so I go to the ER against my own wishes. You know, I have family that lovingly steered me in that direction. And so I think something is really up. Something is very wrong. And I get checked out by the doctor, and he says, "Hey, so what do you do?" And I said, "Oh, no." He's about to either school me or something when I tell him I'm a minister. And I said, "Well, I work in ministry." And he goes, "I bet that's pretty stressful, isn't it?" I said, "Well, okay." You know, I'm like, "Ah, it's not that big of a deal, you know." He says, "Well, I want to let you know you're fine, but what you're suffering is extreme stress and exhaustion, and you need to make some changes in your life." And he goes, "You're in ministry, right?" And this doctor, he says, "I'm not particularly religious, but isn't there something in the Bible about rest?" And I said, "Get thee behind me, Satan." "This heathen of a doctor, I rebuke you in the name of Jesus." I'm just kidding. I didn't do all that. But in that moment, I realized that my life had become all about doing things for Jesus. And actually, that was celebrated. And nobody stopped to ask me how my soul was before the Lord. And so that led to some changes that I've implemented in my life. From then on in 2017, there's a rhythm of Sabbath and silence and solitude where on Fridays, for the most part, obviously some things come up at times, and it's getting a lot more difficult with an 8-month-old, I'll be honest. but on Fridays, my life looks very slow. I turn my phone off, right? I actually accidentally disabled my email from my cell phone 3 weeks ago, and I have not looked back. I'm just like, I don't need to be notified about all this stuff happening. I'll check it when I check it on my computer at home or at the office. But on Fridays, my wife and I, we pray together. We get our favorite tacos and favorite coffee, and we go on a long family walk. We make space for silence and solitude before God. And guess what? It's been amazing. The Lord has done more in those fewer days and fewer hours than I could have ever done. And guess what? My soul is at peace. My joy is full. And this is what God desires for you. Understand this, that we need to move from merely reading to delighting in God's presence. Understand that the scriptures are for our good and our delight. It's not just rules, facts, mundane details, but a wellspring of life to our inner man or woman in our discipleship to Jesus. The philosopher Immanuel Kant would highlight this truth by saying that a single line in the Bible has consoled me more than all the books I have ever read besides. Psalm 119, 105 says that your word is a lamp to guide me and a light for my path. So to you this morning, what does it look like for you to just engage in some silence and solitude before the Lord? I'll tell you this, it can be very uncomfortable. In our church for about a year, we started every Sunday. You know, how many of y'all go to church on Sundays? Raise your hands. Okay, most of y'all, all of you. Just say all of you for your whatever you have to fill out for school. All of y'all, active, serving, preaching probably, in the worship team. But once the clock hit zero, you know, usually the band starts playing. If you're in a more contemporary church, if you're more traditional, the choir will start their march. I don't know if the choir still do the march, but back in my day they did. When the clock hit zero, it wasn't this big band. It says there was a prompt on the screen inviting everyone to silence not only their hearts but also their minds. And for a whole 2 minutes, we did nothing. It was very awkward. Very awkward, especially if you're a visitor and you're walking in late. Like, what is happening? But it was an opportunity for us to, even on a Sunday, practice silence before God, for Him to meet us in this place. And so What does it look like for you to incorporate silence and solitude in your own life, in your daily practice of walking with Jesus? What does it look like for you to even utilize that time in the Word? Not just because you have to, or you're going to a preaching class or some sort of class here, but for your own joy and delight in the Lord to engage with the Scriptures more faithfully and fruitfully. And I want to give us a moment now to sit in silence before God, and then I want to pray. Jesus, we thank you that even in the silence of this moment, your Spirit can speak loudly to our hearts. Would you remind us of the truth that we find in John 15, that as the Father has loved me, so have loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things I have spoken to you that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be full. Jesus, would you fill us with your joy? Would we delight in your presence? Would we long to sit at your feet and choose the greater portion? Lord, we know that we can't do this on our own strength. So would you help us to fight against distractions, to fight against the noise that may seem to infiltrate our hearts and our minds? And would you just help us to simply sit at your feet? Lord, we love you. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. I was going to call y'all church. Church, you are dismissed to go to lunch or to your class. Love you guys. We'll see you soon. God bless you as you go.